dangerous man.
Grab an earful of liberty.
What is it the gentlemen wish? What would they have? Is life so dear and peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of pens and slavery? Forbid it, Almighty God!
Listen to Kit Lang on the Patrick Henry Society every Friday at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Survival Circle Network.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death!
Never sounded so good.
I don't like to brag, but we're kind of proud of that ragged old flag.
You see, we got a little hole in that flag there when Washington took it across.
Does this country remind you of the America that you grew up in? Do your children enjoy the same freedoms that you did when you were young?
Well, you think that you can take me on? You must be crazy. There ain't a single thing you've done that's gonna faze me.
Just how far are you willing to be pushed? When are we gonna put our collective foot down and tell the tyrant, get off of my back? Hi, I'm Cope Reynolds, and if you're tired of the same old sugar-coated mush-mouth monologue of talk radio, join me for The Shooting Bench, Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific, 10 to midnight Central. Guns, self-defense, survival, current events are just a few of the topics that we'll discuss on The Shooting Bench, and we're going to start discussing them right now.
Have you forgotten?
Well, here we are. Welcome to the Shooting Bench. I forgot to remind everybody last night that on Wednesdays, we are going to try to get in the habit of starting about 30 minutes later because of my obligations with the Boy Scouts. So here we are, 30 minutes later. It's the 20th of May, and it's a Wednesday. And let me see if I can get my chat room to come up here and play nice. Let's see here. Come on. Let's go. What's going on here? So I have no idea if I have sound. Everything appears to be working right. The numbers are running by nicely. So let me double check one thing here real quick. A couple of settings. I just burst through the door in a blaze of glory. So let me check and make sure everything's up and running properly here since I don't see my chat room yet. And that's good. That's good. One more. And that's good. So I'm just going to assume that everything's fine. Hope you guys, at least some of you, remembered to hang out here and wait for me. We had got some interesting stuff to talk about tonight. Excuse me. Something that came up on Facebook today. I get a lot of my show stuff from some of the conversations on Facebook. But, you know, I'm wondering here if I am going across. But it looks like my internet may have pooped the bed, Fred. I'm going to disconnect. Oh, there it's coming back up. Okay, well, we're gonna keep going here as if it were working. And let's see. Actually, what I'm going to do is I'm going to disconnect it right here. So stay with me. I'll be right back. Okay, now with any luck, looks like everything's still trying to run here. With any luck, we'll be back and we'll have sound. Chat room's coming up. There we go. Okay. All right, let's continue to march here. Something that came up on Facebook today, one of those conversations that started out as just a simple question, like, you know, what do y'all do in this situation? And what it had to do with a certain kind of show that on TV or a video game or something where the people, as so many times is the case now, is advocating rape and violence and all that. And yeah, in a lot of the shows and stuff, NCIS and all this stuff, you know, it's almost every time. And yeah, they generally get the bad guy, and yeah, he generally dies or goes to jail or something. But still, it's the same thing every time. And why is that? Why is it that, you know, I was thinking, I actually think this quite often. Why is it that, that Don Knotts was funny? And why is it that Bob Hope was funny? And they didn't have to resort to, filth and disgusting things and language and whatever. So one of the things, the comments that I put in here, you know, the person that posted it was just wondering why people do that. And I said, well, it's pretty simple. Let me explain it to you. Society in general is sick and pathetic. The core values of society now are, they change with the season. They're transparent. They change with who or what kind of people you're around, the audience, the people that are watching, or people that you're with. You've all seen, every one of you have seen kids out there, you know, teenagers or whatever, and adults that have certain values and certain behavioral things that they do when we're around one group of people. And then they get around another group of people, and if you couldn't see them, if you judged on their behavior only, you'd swear it was not the same person. I said, very, very few are willing to lead and set that good example. They want to be, by and large, they want to fit in. They want to be left out in the cold. They want to go to the party with everybody else. They don't want to sit down at the drugstore and have a soda all by themselves. They want to go out where they're biting. It's too much fun now to use that kind of foul language and to watch and sometimes even participate in activities that are immoral, but they're exciting, especially if it makes your friends happy. And just to drive that home a little bit. I was thinking about this and I was going through some stuff and I looked at some stories here. Now remember what I just said. By the way, my chat room just came up. Let me go and check and see what all we've got going in the chat room before I get too far away. There's looks like everybody's got sound. Mountain Shooter says that's why they quit watching CSI. You can only watch so many bodies in a week. You know, I don't even mind the bodies too much. It's the violence is one thing, but sexual activity and violence and language is another. Now, Mountain Shooter's right. I mean, you shouldn't have to watch any of it with that many bodies. But nobody has any idea what core belief is. But let's with that in mind, let's look at a couple of stories here. Here's one out of Stone Mountain, Georgia. This is down in DeKalb County. It's right outside of Atlanta. I've been worked in DeKalb County quite a bit while I was down in that part of the country. And there is a middle school teacher, 25 years old, male, fired from his job, charged with a crime. He's accused of allowing students to have sex in the closet, in a classroom closet. And how this got found out was the mom of the boy found some text messages on his phone, and she said, "I was stunned. I couldn't believe it." Basically, he's just allowing this to happen in his classroom. And in those texts, the teacher said, "Yeah, you can do that from 7:30 to 8:30." He said, "If she gets here on time, you can do it from 7:30 to 8:30." In one of them, the teacher asked if the teenager told the girl what was going to happen, and she couldn't tell anybody. Really? And another one said that the teacher didn't have any condoms to provide for him. So he got fired, and just shortly, a day or two or whatever after that, they issued a warrant for him and picked him up four misdemeanor counts of contributing to the delinquency of a minor. If that would have been one of my kids that was involved in that, I can't even... I have no idea. I cannot imagine what might have happened at that school. I can pretty well tell you, though, that the overall description of it would not have been good. Yeah. So, hey, Firewall just joined us. Good. So, let's keeping this in mind, let me tell you about another story here. Now, we're talking about core values, principles, and how society has gone downhill here. In New Jersey, there's a loophole in the law there that was discovered after a cop, former cop now, was accused of molesting calves. Calves, baby cows, you know, not human-type people. Baby cows. Accused of molesting calves. He was cleared when the judge ruled that his actions were not animal cruelty. And that's when the intern there of the Humane Society brought it to the attention of an assemblyman. And it says that a bill breezed through the state Senate Monday in a shutout vote of 35-0. Yeah, well, I would hope. Making the process even more meaningful is the fact that a 23-year-old Katie died in February. It was heartbreaking for all of us. I don't know what Katie had to do with that. We were determined to continue her. Oh, okay, I see. She was the gal at the Humane Society. Okay, 23 years old. My goodness. We were determined to continue her advocacy. And so, What this story is trying to tell you here, that up until a week ago or whatever, hell, the story's today's story, so up until a few days ago, that bestiality was still legal in New Jersey. They just hurriedly passed a law to make it illegal. Unbelievable. There's... there, do you want another one? This is a little bit older story, but I found this looking up here. This makes you, I won't say it makes you wonder about the religion, but it sure makes you wonder about this guy here. This is a couple of years ago, year and a half ago. Methodist pastor. Gretel, go stick your head under a pillow somewhere. Methodist pastor married his homosexual son in good conscience, he said. He's on trial now. There's a judge, jury, and a de facto prosecutor, a defense attorney in this trial. But he's on trial now. I mean, but they said, I didn't think nothing about it. He married him in good conscience. I married my gay son in good conscience, is what it said. Said the guy, this was up in Pennsylvania, the guy entered a plea of not guilty as the trial of the United Methodist minister who officiated at his son's same-sex marriage began on Monday. He is accused of breaking church law, barring same-sex marriages. And in his defense, God's love, there's another one. Now I'm assuming, trying to get the whole truth and nothing but the truth here. It doesn't say in this story, it's what I'm looking for, that the son was married to somebody else. That's what I'm trying to figure out. But we can go right to the next story. And this one out of, imagine my surprise. This one's also out of Pennsylvania. And this is one where a father is to marry his son and with the court's blessing. He said it's not actually his son biologically, but they'll soon be husband and whatever.
From everyone.
Jalapeno ring sunglasses.
Fire. Why do we have interruption on my show? Thank you.
Fresco.
Why? No, thank you. Stop already.
Jalapenos and ghost pepper sauce. How will you react?
All right, maybe it's gone. So, they're both in their 70s. They've been together for 50 years. And registered in New York City as domestic partners in 1994. When they moved to Pennsylvania, they discovered their domestic partnership wasn't recognized and legalized same-sex marriage was nowhere on the horizon. Well, anyway, when the United States District Court declared unconstitutional Pennsylvania's marriage laws prohibiting same-sex marriage in 2014, these two wanted to tie the knot. Can you imagine that? Two 70-year-old men wanting to get married. Okay, then. Well, on to other news. Jeez, unbelievable. Let me check and see what all is going on here in the chat room. And Doc, you're right. You know, there's a lot of stories going on about what happened in Waco. We don't know for sure. There's different stories going around. So I'm assuming that I don't think that there was as many people and as many bikers killed by cops as what was reported, if any. I don't know for sure. I haven't even been keeping up with it, to tell you the truth. I've just kind of been hearing it on the TV as I walk by from time to time. And if there were that many, I would think that some of that retribution would be coming down towards the cops instead of just towards each other. So I don't know that for a fact, just guessing. Okay, there goes the dogs barking. I'm going to have to go kill something in a minute. Hopefully that's just Kelly coming home from church. All right, let's just go on down the list here and see what else we can come up to make your evening for you. The gut several gun thing, we'll save some of these until tomorrow. That one we talked about, the Boy Scouts last night. That was the big talk tonight at Scouts and a church. And I'm guessing that if this kind of stuff continues and it gets any worse, I don't know if this is bad enough yet. It would be if I was making the decision. I'm going to guess, this is a prediction here, that at least this stuff, you know, we talked about the squirt guns last night, for those of you that weren't with us or didn't see the news. The Boy Scouts of America have now declared that the boys cannot have squirt gun fights. They can't shoot at each other. They have to shoot at targets, and the targets can't look like people. They got to look like liberals or something. So, and the water balloons, they can't throw water balloons at each other. They can throw them at each other, but the water balloons can't be any bigger than the ping pong ball. Okay? And anything they do, capture the flag or laser tag or any of that kind of stuff, can't be done towards each other or targets that look like people. Has to be done at some inanimate thing like a liberal, I guess. And they have to have eye protection when they're shooting their squirt guns at paper targets. Yeah. Thank you, Easy Mac. So there you go. But my prediction here is at some point in the hopefully not too distant future, like I said, if it was my decision, I would have made it before I left church tonight and it would be over already. But I think what may happen is the Mormon church may wind up pulling out of the scouting program and creating their own program. And if they do that, you know, in many parts of the country, they're going to lose 75, 80, 90% of their scouts. Other parts of the country won't have quite such an effect, but there's a lot of parts out there overwhelmingly that's what the scouts are. So if that happens, it's gonna put a hurting on all of them. But you know, that's not the type of thing that at least not our church teaches or condones. Now, you know, if they're going to stay in the scouting program, there'll be a certain amount of this stuff that'll have to be they'll have to abide by it in order to stay in the scouting program. So I'm going to put my 2 cents worth in every time I happen to get a chance and try to convince them to get out and start there. You know, we can have, there is dang sure enough that we could have our own jamborees and our own awards program and badges and do all the same manner of stuff. Yeah, Gretel, and hi, honey. I'm glad you made it in. Yeah, you got to have eyeglasses. Got to have eye protection. And that's not even to shoot other people with a squirt gun. You have to have, listen to, read my lips. Watch closely. You have to have eye protection to shoot at paper targets that don't look like people.
New jalapeno fresco, our signature.
Why is somebody breaking into my peeing in my post toasties here again? Let me get rid of a couple of these things here and maybe that will go away. I don't like that. I hate those kind of things. So there you have it. That's what's going on in Scouts. Look, the devil, what's that? Devil pups, Scouts. Yeah. Need to do something, man. This is crazy. Unbelievable. And I told Amy, you know, we talk about this frequently. And I talked about, you know, in 1775, we didn't have near this kind of stuff going on. And they actually, these guys actually went out there and started a war over it. You know what I mean? And I got it for you there, Yakima Glock. So, I don't know. I just don't know. But it drives me crazy. Well, I tell you what, I think we're going to take a little break. And I'll be back here in a few minutes.
She always wanted me to go to Texas, but I told her Texas ain't no place for me. But to tell the truth, I was too afraid of Texas. And the big wild Texas cowboy's memory. She said everything was bigger and better in Texas. Mentioned Dallas, and her face would start to glow. Fort Worth is where she met her second husband. She never did say why he let her go. She talked a lot about Texas and the warm west wind blowing through her hair. She talked a lot about Texas, and by this time tomorrow she'll be there. Monday night she came down with a fever. Tuesday she was babbling in her troubled sleep. She was crying and asking why he had to leave. And Texas was the final breath she breathed. She talked a lot about Texas and the warm west wind blowing through her hair. And this time tomorrow she'll be buried there.
You tell them I'm coming, and hell's coming with me, you hear? Hell's coming with me!
The Liberty Lounge, brought to you every Friday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific Time. Listen to classic country music in the Liberty Lounge to help you end your week on a pleasant note. We'll have sad songs.
I go out walking after midnight.
Happy songs.
I'm the happiest girl in the whole USA.
Patriotic songs. Songs of tragedy.
Two little boys and an old family dog.
love songs.
Welcome to my world.
And good old honky-tonk music.
I'm a honky-tonk man, and I can't seem to stop.
So join me every Friday night and just let your hair down for a couple of hours here on Liberty Lounge. Join that sexy thing for living way out here on the Survival Circle Network. Yep, Amy's back on weeknights except Wednesday from 8 to 9 p.m. Pacific Time with an hour of trivia, fun, and interesting stories. Join her for living way out here.
When they stopped to make their play, and the swiftness of the Ranger is still talked about today. Texas red and not cleared leather for a bullet fairly ripped, and the Ranger's aim was deadly with the big iron on his hip, big iron on his hip.
Okay, we're back here. Got just checking on some other news here. I want you to listen to this. You know, I have had a couple people, actually, it's back when we were over in Luna, and had one guy on that is a hardcore dyed-in-the-wool 100% anti-wolf advocate, if there ever was one. He has spent a lot of money trying to get a lot of the restrictions loosened up over there where these ranchers can kill wolves and stuff that are getting into their cows and stuff. And I've seen some of the results of not being able to take care of these wolves. There's a guy over there in reserve named Jesse. He's the official wolf investigator guy. He's the one that goes around and looks at some of these crime scenes, I call them, where they're, you know, dogs and calves and whatnot have been killed by wolves. And I've seen some of those things. And the danger that wolves can do is very, very real. Not what they can do. Everybody knows what a wolf can do. The activities that they do, it's very real. So I want you to listen to this thing. It's about 4 minutes long. All right, now hopefully it's loud enough. Get ready to turn your volume up a little bit if you need to. But I want you to pay attention to what this person says. Listen closely. Don't go off, go get coffee or nothing. If you're going to do it now. And get back here, because I want you to pay real careful attention to what these people say. And I want to see some comments in the chat room after this. Here we go. Well, hang on a minute. It's having a hard time getting going here. Come on. Let me pause it. Start over here. All right. Let's try this. There we go. Pay attention.
One of the most exciting scientific findings of the past half century has been the discovery of widespread trophic cascades. A trophic cascade is an ecological process which starts at the top of the food chain and tumbles all the way down to the bottom. And the classic example is what happened in the Yellowstone National Park in the United States when wolves were reintroduced in 1995. Now, we all know that wolves kill various species of animals, but perhaps we're slightly less aware that they give life to many others. Before the wolves turned up, they'd been absent for 70 years. That the numbers of deer, because there was nothing to hunt them, had built up and built up in the Yellowstone Park, and despite efforts by humans to control them, they'd managed to reduce much of the vegetation there to almost nothing. They'd just grazed it away. But as soon as the wolves arrived, even though they were few in number, they started to have the most remarkable effects. First, of course, they killed some of the deer, but that wasn't the major thing. Much more significantly, they radically changed the behavior of the deer. The deer started avoiding certain parts of the park, the places where they could be trapped most easily, particularly the valleys and the gorges. And immediately those places started to regenerate. In some areas, the height of the trees quintupled in just 6 years. Bare valley sides quickly became forests of aspen and willow and cottonwood. And as soon as that happened, the birds started moving in. The number of songbirds and migratory birds started to increase greatly. The number of beavers started to increase because beavers like to eat the trees. And beavers, like wolves, are ecosystem engineers. They create niches for other species. And the dams they built in the rivers provided habitats for otters and muskrats and ducks and fish and reptiles and amphibians. The wolves killed coyotes, and as a result of that, the number of rabbits and mice began to rise, which meant more hawks, more weasels, more foxes, more badgers. Ravens and bald eagles came down to feed on the carrion that the wolves had left. Bears fed on it too, and their population began to rise as well, partly also because there were more berries growing on the regenerating shrubs. And the bears reinforced the impact of the wolves by killing some of the calves of the deer. But here's where it gets really interesting. The wolves changed the behavior of the rivers. They began to meander less. There was less erosion, the channels narrowed, more pools formed, more riffle sections, all of which were great for wildlife habitats. The rivers changed in response to the wolves. And the reason was that the regenerating forests stabilized the banks so that they collapsed less often, so that the rivers became more fixed in their course. Similarly, by driving the deer out of some places and the vegetation recovering on the valley sides, there was less soil erosion because the vegetation stabilized that as well. So the wolves, small in number, transformed not just the ecosystem of the Yellowstone National Park, this huge area of land, but also its physical geography.
So, there you have it, ladles and jelly spoons. The wolf has changed the course of the rivers in Yellowstone. That is an amazing feat. Yeah, you know, just a few wolves just there has changed the topography of Yellowstone. Yeah. Made the rivers run different. Changed the course of the rivers. And the guy said there once when the had something about the killed the calves of the deer at one point. I don't know about you guys, but I ain't believing a damn word of that. I don't think that the wolves have that dramatic of an effect on the of an area like that. And I can tell you for a fact, I've been up there and I've seen what they do. You know, I lived right outside of the park. Why are we having this very annoying problem?
promoción de un Altima en tu tienda Nissan local. Compra en escogenissan.com. Clic en las grandes ofertas locales.
Okay, hopefully we got rid of that. It is a monumental problem up there for these wolves. I don't believe that there's any such thing as that they're changing the course of the rivers. They do indeed, though, change the course of hunting and stuff up there, because now that one thing said, well, the wolves killed coyotes, so the rabbits are coming back. Really? The wolves don't chase the rabbits? The wolves will damn sure kill coyotes. There's no question about that. But if they kill the coyotes, that just leaves more rabbits for the wolves. Now, I tell you, I've got family over there in Luna. I've got family over there right now, today, that's trying to keep their ranches going. And it gets harder and harder every year because of the wolves. We just had a story here, day before yesterday, that some wolves, there had been some human wolf interaction just about 40 miles west of here. And there's been a number of dogs killed. The wolves had to take a great liking to dogs and cats. Yeah, they do eat them. I've got a picture of a dog here. I'd have to go up and find it, but I got a picture of a dog that was, it was a wolf dog, actually. It was a hunting dog. It was a hound of some kind. And about the only thing that's left of him is his tail. Still has enough hair on it to tell that it's a tail. And his head is still pretty much intact. The rest of it is basically a spine, because the ribs were small enough that most of that was eaten. And there's pretty much, for the most part, just a spine that connects the head and the tail. And the hind legs, the upper part of the hind legs were there. The bottom part had been chewed off. I probably carried off in the woods there a little ways or something. It's pretty bad deal. They do the same thing to calves. You know, calves have, small calves have very, very tender, softer bones and stuff. So they eat almost all of them. And I've seen these things happen, and it's just amazing. If they would loosen up the restrictions enough to say, all right, if you go out there and you determine that wolves are killing your cows, if you see one on your property, you can kill it. Okay, I can see maybe they don't want you to lure them in with bait and trap them. I'm okay with that, but I'm sure that they're not. But if you could just kill them when you see them on your property, that would help a lot. But they spend, when we had that guy on the show that time that does all this stuff, he travels around, talks to the legislature in meetings and all this kind of stuff. And he said, and he's got the paperwork to prove it. It was something, I believe it was, I think it was $600,000 or something like that, that has been spent per wolf to reintroduce these wolves. Now, that's counting all of the equipment, and that's not just to raise a wolf, okay? But all of the outlying stuff that goes along with it, $600,000. I'm pretty sure that's what it was, $663,000. It kind of rings a bell. But, you know, they had that one wolf that was killed over around reserve, and they flew that freaking wolf to Denver at what kind of cost? And how many biologists went with it? They flew it to Denver to a veterinary place over there to determine cause of death. It was shot. They said it was shot before they even left. Can't you just take it down to the local vet emergency clinic there and say, hey, doc, what do you think killed this wolf? So it looks to me like a bullet. Let me cut it open and see. And they probably could have had that done for $300 or $400. But no. What do you reckon they spent to fly that thing to Denver to some specialized something or another with some freaking quack up there that had to, yeah, that's right, Yak, the cost of the cattle that they killed too, that's right. So they probably cost, I'm going to guess it cost somewhere in the to the tune of $20,000 or maybe more, maybe $50,000 to fly this wolf to Denver to determine how it was killed. They could have brought it down by the shop and I'd have told them how the damn thing was killed. And I wouldn't have charged them near as much. I probably would only charge them $10,000. Unbelievable. Yeah, it pisses me off. Of course it pisses me off. All right. Well, let's move into another deal here. This is a kind of a neat thing that you guys might get a kick out of. I kind of got a kick out of it. It's this story comes from yesterday, and it appears that Mariposa County, Arizona, Sheriff, who is, speak to me? Yeah, Sheriff Joe. Well, it's not Sheriff Charlie. Sheriff Joe's actually out now. Let me double check this, make sure. It appears here that Mariposa County has withdrawn the power of federal authorities in the forest. You know, the sheriff here in Apache County did that back during the Wall of Fire. They locked some gates up there and locked some hunters back in the fire areas. And he sent his deputies out with bolt cutters. And he said, you open those gates and told the feds, you don't close those gates again. You stay out of that forest. It's in my county. And you don't do that no more. So I think that our sheriff here is at least pretty much on our side. I've actually got him recorded on tape of being, well, not tape, but the modern little doohickeys, flash drives, of saying that he was pro-militia and would not obey any orders to confiscate guns. And I've got him and the Navajo County Sheriff both on the same day recorded as saying that. Yep, I've got it. I've got it right here in my list of stuff here somewhere. So, Arizona's not a bad place to be. There's a lot of freedom here. You know what I mean? Quite a bit. So, all right. Let me go over here and find another. Hang on just a second. Okay. I've got a guy here, and I'm not going to tell you who it was, who it is. But he's going to be taking a class, and he says that a Glock 27 is his backup gun, and he's planning on using that in the class because he don't want to shoot 800 rounds through his primary carry gun, a Smith & Wesson 69. So, that's okay. I mean, that's you know, he's comfortable with that other gun. That's what he wants. That's all right. But if I had to carry a gun that I was worried about shooting 800 rounds through, I'd probably think about maybe trading up a little bit. But I don't know, we'll wait and we'll see what happens. All right, let me go over here and bring up my veritable plethora of stories here. See if we can find something to fill up the next few minutes. Got a couple of good ones here on guns, but we're going to save those for a little. Every time I pass this story about the squirt guns, it just makes me want to eat 16 penny nails and poop thumbtacks, you know. There's here's another deal going on in New Mexico. This is a pretty new thing. And that is that if a if the state patrol or the sheriff's office, somebody, if they deputize somebody, then that means that department is liable for anything that they do. You know, excessive use of force or something like that. So it says that the Supreme Court in New Mexico has ruled to hold county sheriff departments liable for actions of anyone that they decide to deputize, even if they're not a part of the force. So if the sheriff's department says, okay, we need to borrow three of your officers to help us with this event over here, and we're going to deputize them under the authority of the sheriff in our jurisdiction here, and something happens, then it's the fault of the the sheriff's department, the people, the agency that deputized him, not the officer himself, even though he should have certifications and everything, you know, badge, and as far as I'm concerned, they all have insurance, but it's not their department or them individually. It is the sheriff's department that gets fined for that, or the get held liable for it. But this happened. There was an incident that happened there about from a police officer who was deputized by Santa Fe County here a while back, and that's what brought all this up. So there was, let's see, Santa Fe County will now be held liable for the actions of Pewaukee Pueblo tribal officer who reportedly is accused of using excessive force on a non-native man during a routine traffic stop. So they had hired deputized this tribal officer, and during the time that he was working under the county, he opened up a can of whoop-ass on this non-native guy, and now it's going to be the sheriff's department's fault. It's going to be they're liable for it. I don't think I quite get that. I think I understand that at all. Okay, let's see here. Oh, let me remind everybody, we're getting down now to almost, actually, 1 month from today, the Arms Expo in Washington, Yakima, Washington, is going to be happening. 1 month and 1 week from yesterday, I guess. Anyway, 26th of next month will be the Personal Defense Handgun 3 up in Yakima and Washington. I hope that I'm holding about three places right now to see what some other people are going to do, and if not, well, something doesn't happen there pretty soon, I'm going to go ahead and open those up too. But I cannot wait for this class. It's going to be a heck of a lot of fun. It's in a great place with some great people. And Doc, we just talked about that, what, yesterday, day, or Friday maybe? I think maybe it was yesterday. Monday. Doc says the Russians and Chinese teaching their kids to field strip AKs. Yeah, that's what I was saying. They're teaching them to clean them and shoot them and do all kinds of stuff, And we won't let our kids play with squirt guns. Somebody said a while ago, yeah, the BSA was a great organization. It was the leadership. And somebody said they're trying to teach our kids to be wussies. Now, I don't think that's the case. I think the wussies were already in there and they had to change the rules to accommodate them. Somebody got shot in the eye and went crying to mama because they couldn't see for 5 or 10 minutes or something. And what? How many accidents have they had over the years with squirt guns? Let's take a wild guess here. All the Boy Scouts of America, in America, how many accidents have we had that can be contributed to water gun fights? Let me guess and say out of 487 bazillion squirt gun fights over the years, how many injuries we had? What, two? Maybe? Or one? I'm guessing probably none, actually. But somebody got all butthurt, I imagine, because they because their kid got picked on and got soaking wet and got cold or something. So, yeah, Boy Scouts are not making wussies out of our boys. You're making wussies out of our boys. You people that don't bust their butt and make them do things and teach them to work and teach them to man up and accept that sometimes life ain't fair. Sometimes you get beat in a water gun fight. And sometimes you get hit with a water balloon and so whatever. You know, poop happens. Deal with it. All I can tell you. Okay, well, I've had all the fun I can stand. I'm going to get out of here and go be with my lovely bride, and we'll see you all tomorrow night. And I appreciate you joining me tonight.
Thanks for joining us for another edition of The Shooting Bench. Please join Cope Monday through Friday for the most politically incorrect firearms information show on talk radio.
Lead, follow, or get the hell out of the way. Ladies and gentlemen, it is time for you to decide who you are. Somebody should call them. Somebody should write a letter. Somebody should try and stop that. Somebody should do something. I challenge you to look in the mirror and tell me what you see. If there's somebody there, that would be you. It's time for you to do something. There is no doubt that the Constitution is hanging by a thread. It's not going to wait for us much longer.